where Steve left off in the reading from Exodus. It's Exodus chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer per person, according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. Thank you, God, for providing for us exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. What food would you be willing to eat every single day for the next 40 years? My friend Bob would immediately say pizza. Bob loves him some pizza. Me, I could eat popcorn every day. Every single day, just plain popcorn, sometimes buttered. I have popcorn for dinner at least once a week. Now, admittedly, many times after I've eaten a whole bowl, big bowl of popcorn, I feel a little sick and I swear, no more popcorn for at least a week. And then the very next day, I find myself thinking, what shall I have for a snack? And my brain screams, popcorn! I never get enough of popcorn. For the Israelites in today's scripture, the food they ate every day for 40 years, and not entirely by choice, was manna. It was instrumental in teaching them a lesson about how to gather enough of what they needed and how to be grateful for it. The Israelites were just 2 months into their desert wandering when they started complaining to Moses and Aaron about food, or the lack thereof. Of course, there wasn't much to eat in the wilderness of sin. Nothing grew there, and even if anything did, there were far too many people to feed. In the midst of this desert dearth, the people got hangry, and they lashed out at Moses and Aaron. It's odd to listen to them complain because they had flocks of sheep and herds of cattle with them. They could have eaten some of those animals, but that wasn't what they wanted. They wanted the food they had enjoyed in Egypt. They went on and on about how it was in the good old days in Egypt. They had enough to eat then. They had enough to drink, but they were in bondage. They decided it wasn't all that bad, so maybe they should go back, get out of this desert, and go back into civilization, into slavery. Funny thing about the good old days, they are always better. Everything was always better back then compared to the present. That's because we humans have a tendency towards something called selective memory. Of course, you don't want to remember the hard times, the bad times, the hard work. To preserve your sanity, you gloss over the imperfect memories and even sugarcoat them to make them more bearable. The Israelites didn't want to remember the harshness of their slavery. They didn't want to remember how hard they worked. All they remembered was the food they ate. But really, on slave rations, how good could it have been? How plentiful could it have been? Could it have been enough? Well, that's all they focused on. God heard their complaints and did something about it. One morning, after a whole flock of quails came into the camp and gave the people meat to eat, they walked out and saw something that looked like frost on the ground. Manna sounds like the Hebrew phrase manu, which means, what is it? The Bible describes manna as being like white coriander seeds that tasted like wafers made with honey. I like to think they tasted like fortune cookies. People could boil it or bake it or make a kind of porridge with it. It was very versatile. Some Midrash texts, stories that embellish scripture, say manna could taste like whatever anybody wanted it to taste like. So if someone was craving lobster, the manna would taste like lobster. The Israelites would eat manna for the next 40 years, all during the time they were in the desert. It appeared regularly, 6 days a week, without fail, until the day they crossed over into Canaan. Scholars are still debating exactly what manna was. There are some speculations that it was the sap of a certain tree that grows in that area of the world. Others contend it was the product of local insects, like bees producing honey. They try to find a natural cause for it, but there's no mistaking the miraculous attributes of manna. It only appeared on 6 days of the week, and it came down on 5 days in just the right amounts for everyone to have their share, exactly what they needed for themselves and their families. The one who gathered a lot had just what they needed and nothing over, and the one that gathered a little had no lack. And twice as much manna came down on the sixth day, so the people wouldn't have to go out gathering it on the seventh day, the Sabbath day. No tree sap or insect product can do that appear only on certain days and in just the right amount needed for all these people. But manna came with some stipulations. The people were told to gather enough for what they needed each day, an omer a day, that's about 2 quarts. Everyone got exactly what they needed for each day, no more, no less. And although the manna freely fell, the people still had to go out and gather it. They had to do the work. It didn't fall into their bowls without effort or appear in a package for them to pick up and go back home with. And it only fell in the morning. So they had to get up and go out and gather their allotment for the day when it first appeared. It melted when the sun got hot. The people were warned right away not to try to save any of it for the next day, no keeping any of it aside for a midnight snack. But of course, there were those who just had to test things. So they defied the warning from Moses, which he had received directly from God. And what happened? The manna went bad overnight, developing worms and stinking to high heaven, good for nothing now. It was wasted. It was a squandering of God's abundance. Some other people went out on the Sabbath day to gather more manna, despite Moses specifically telling them, "Today you will not find it in the fields. 6 days you shall gather it. But on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." Some people just have to find out things for themselves, I guess. However, Moses took it as a sign of distrust. Didn't they believe God meant it when God said there would be a double ration on the day before the Sabbath? Why did they doubt? They were simply told to go out and gather enough manna. What they received each day was enough, filling enough, nutritious enough. It gave them strength enough for their desert wanderings. What does manna have to do with us? What can we learn from the miracle of manna? Here's a question to contemplate. What do we expect from God? Just enough or more than enough? Do we trust that what God gives us is enough or should be? Do we trust that God will do what he says he will do? Do we trust God will give us the strength we need on our desert wanderings? This whole story is a great example of God's provision of enough for all of God's children back then and still today. When the Israelites initially complained, God heard them. This was not the first time they complained, but believe, this was the first time they complained, but believe me, this would not be the last time. The people thought they were complaining about Moses and Aaron, but they were really complaining about God, questioning God's ability to provide for them, questioning God's motives for bringing them out into the desert. They actually accused God of bringing out there to kill them. God could have gotten angry with them and washed his hands of them right then and there for their lack of gratitude. God could have said, "You ingrates, I've freed you from bondage and all you do is complain, complain, complain. I'll just get rid of all of you right now so I don't have to listen to you complaining." But God didn't do that. God reacted to their ingratitude and snarkiness with grace and provision. Granted, later during the Exodus, God did get so fed up with the people that at one point God told Moses, "Step aside. I'm going to zap all these people off the face of the earth and replace them with better, more faithful, more grateful people." It was only Moses' plea, Moses even saying, "Take me instead of them, God," that stopped God from following through with the threat. God gave them manna so they would stop reminiscing and lamenting over a past that was done and gone. God didn't want nostalgic nomads wandering, whining about what they'd left behind. God wanted to give the people a future and a hope, to encourage them to look forward and leave the past, the good old days, behind. while settling into their new reality, desert though it may have been, and building something new and marvelous with God, a community of trust and faith and obedience and gratitude and equality. With reassuring regularity, the manna appeared every day while the Israelites wandered in the desert. The scripture says the Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a habitable land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. And truth to tell, they got tired of it. But God had made a promise to Moses and the people to provide for them. And for 40 years, that's exactly what God did. The concept of enough is clear throughout this story. Everyone gathered enough for what they needed, no more, no less. Everyone had what they needed for themselves and their families, all those living in their tents, no more and no less. No one was able to flaunt it in somebody else's face that they had more manna, because everyone had enough. No one could complain to God that they didn't have enough to eat. No one had to hoard or hide what they gathered. No one was jealous of anyone else's allotment. No one had to steal someone else's omer of manna in order to feed their own family. They didn't compare what they had gathered, and even if they did, they didn't get mad because if they hadn't gathered as much as someone else did. Everyone had enough. It is still God's will that everyone has enough of what they need, enough food, enough shelter, enough freedom. Manna was also a test of the people's obedience. They had to follow the guidelines God handed down through Moses, and they had to use it as God intended them to. They had to trust God would send the manna every day for 6 days, and to trust that on the sixth day, there would be enough to cover the seventh day. They were to learn about being constantly dependent on God and no one else for their daily nourishment. Along with the manna, God gifted them with Sabbath rest. As slaves, they didn't have the luxury of a whole day in which they didn't have to work, but could instead rest and worship God. That was why they had more manna on the sixth day, so they wouldn't have to work, so they could spend time contemplating God's goodness and God's provision. The manna was living proof of that. Later, God commanded the people to save a jar of the manna and put it in the Ark of the Covenant, along with the tablets of the Ten Commandments, as a perpetual memorial of God's love and care. Manna was not the only bread God sent from heaven, you know. Years later, long after the Exodus was over, Jesus Christ the Savior would come to his people, to us, and declare that he was the bread from heaven, sent to nourish the people and satisfy not only their physical hunger, but their spiritual hunger as well. He is the embodiment of God's love and care for all of us. Jesus is living bread from heaven, and he is all we need. He comes to us every day to lead, nourish, and encourage us. He has enough concern for all of us. He has enough compassion for all of us. He has enough salvation for all of us. He has enough love for all of us. Jesus is our manna, and Jesus is enough. Let us pray. Dear God, give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need, strength and sustenance and provision from you. Rain upon us the bread from heaven that nourishes our souls. Teach us to trust and obey you, and show us how to become a community of equality and faith that looks toward a future of hope with you. Thank you for the blessing of Sabbath rest, and thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them who trespassed against us. Forgive us our trespasses. our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. O Lord, lead us not into temptation, but save us from evil. And the kingdom and the power and the glory forever will be yours. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven.